Okay, when I was an actor, after my rounds of auditions, I used to did, you know, many people, I would hang out at the Carnegie Deli. And I got to know the host there. Mm-hmm. His name was Herb Schlein, mm-hmm. because Herb had seen me performing off Broadway in mm-hmm. a play called An Evening's Frost. And he was a theater fanatic. So one day I was sitting there and I was in a dark mood because I was facing a dilemma. Every summer I would go off and do summer stock theater, which was a great training because we would do 12 plays a summer. It was called one a week stock. We did a different play every week. And it was great training. But the problem was, if you're outside out of New York for the summer doing stock, when are they casting the shows that are going to open in the fall, in the summer? So when you get back on Labor Day, everything has been auditioned for and cast, and you're shit out of luck. So Herb asked me what the problem was, and I said, I want to stay here for the summer. I don't want to go off. But I have to pay the rent. I need a job. And he said, have you ever waited tables? And I said, yeah, when I was a student. And he says, you want to work here? I said, you're joking. He said, no. He says, it's the same thing. So he went to the guy who owned it those days, was named Carnegie Max. And I became the first goy waiter in the history of the Carnegie Deli. Mm. I worked from 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. to 4 a.m., 10 hours straight, no breaks, in the busiest restaurant in Manhattan. And the great writer, Patty Chayefsky, had offices up on the 40th or 50th floor of this building. And he came down like clockwork every day at 6:30, and we had a little table set aside for him, Jesse's table, and he had the same thing every day, apple strudel and coffee, and he was not to be disturbed. So I was serving him one day, and he looked up at me and he said, "You're not Jewish." And I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "What the fuck you doing here?" And I told him how Herb and Carnegie Max had taken pity on me, and I was auditioning that summer. He said, "Oh, you're an actor," and la-di-da. So we chatted a bit. But still, I kept my distance. And then one day, I had an idea, and I came over to him, and he saw it on my face that I wanted something. And he looked at me and he said, "What?" I said, "I have a favor." He said, "Oh, kid, please, no favor." I said, "No, it's a simple thing. I would just like to see where you work, where the great Chayefsky composes these great films, you know, Marty and great plays, Marty and Network and, you know, all these great pieces." And he said, "Kid, there's nothing to see." I said, "Well, I promise you, there's nothing to see." So I begged, and he said, "Okay, come up at tomorrow at 5. So I went up high floor, like this is the 40s, 50s, and he was right. There was nothing to see. It was the most. There was nothing on the walls. It was a steel desk, a chair, a file cabinet, and a typewriter. But windows from floor to ceiling, looking out over one of the grandest views on earth, down to the Empire State, of course, and beyond that, out to the Statue of Liberty and Wall Street. I mean, one of the most fabulous views on earth. And his desk faced the wall. And he worked with his back to that view. And so, indeed, there was nothing to see except the incredible, you know, Zen Buddhist discipline of working in a space like that with your back to that view. And And said there wasn't a family photo, there was nothing. Except, over his desk, there was a sheet of yellow legal paper taped to the wall. And on it, he'd written in big letters, "He gets it." And so with nothing else to remark on, I looked at that and I said, "Mr. Chesky, what is that? He gets it." And he said, "Okay, I've been working on this scene, rewriting it. I'm on draft," and he had a stack of pages there, and he looked, he says, "This is draft 53. And, you know, sometimes you just get lost in the fog, you know? And so I put that up on the wall to remind myself that no matter how I end up writing this scene, this is the scene where he gets it. That has to happen. How it's going to happen, I have no idea." And he was on draft number 53. And that is a writer. That is somebody with high standards who rewrites and rewrites and rewrites in pursuit of perfection and will not settle for less than the best.